Not sure how many of you remember the fairy tale of the emperor's new clothes. But in this story, two weavers trick a vain emperor into wearing a magnificent outfit. And they tell him that this fabric is only visible to anyone who is smart. Therefore, if you can't see it, you are stupid. So while the clothes are non-existent, people fear being judged as stupid, and so they don't say anything. When the emperor goes out into public wearing his extraordinary new clothes, it's a little child who speaks up and says, "But he hasn't got anything on." Sometimes we need the confidence of a little child to say what needs to be said. In the gospel passage from today, we join the disciples as Jesus is teaching them. But the disciples did not understand what Jesus was saying to them, and they were afraid to ask him any questions. This left me wondering, why were they so afraid to ask Jesus questions? They were his closest friends. He was their teacher, and questions were part of the culture of teaching. So what made them so afraid? Well, I know I have been afraid to ask a question, and I wonder if you have too. What kind of things have stopped you from speaking up? Were you afraid that you would not like the answer? Were you afraid of what others might think? Maybe the last time you asked a question, you felt put down by the person who answered, and so you don't want to put yourself in that position again where you could be embarrassed or hurt. I asked my teenage son, Dustin, who's a grade 12 student, why he thought the disciples were afraid. And he said they probably didn't want to accept what Jesus was saying. And so they didn't want to ask him any questions. They couldn't stop him or change his mind, so they didn't want to discuss it any further. It can be difficult to speak up and ask questions when we don't understand. However, when we are courageous enough to engage in conversation, we are often pleasantly surprised by the answers. Often others have had the same questions that we do, and they were grateful that someone was brave enough to ask them. I know I was glad when I asked my son for his perspective. It allowed me to see it in a new and valuable way. Well, let's go back to our gospel reading today. Jesus and the disciples have escaped from the crowds for a couple of days. There had been a lot going on. Everyone wanted a piece of Jesus. Jesus' plate was full, like we talked about this morning. They wanted Jesus to heal them or someone they love. They wanted him to answer a question or defend his teaching or do something miraculous. But Jesus knew that his time was running out. He had a few chosen disciples, and he needed to ensure that they would be ready when he was no longer with them. So after a frustrating encounter where the disciples were unable to free a boy from an evil spirit, Jesus took them all on a long walk. It would have taken approximately 15 hours to walk from Caesarea Philippi to Capernaum, and likely they would have done this over 2 to 3 days. And we know from verse 31 and 32 that Jesus' main focus of teaching was that he was going to be betrayed. He was going to die, and he was going to rise again in 3 days. Now, has someone ever told you something that doesn't make sense to you or something you don't want to hear? And maybe instead of engaging, you change the topic? I wonder if that's what happened here. Instead of asking Jesus to clarify what this teaching meant, the disciples started arguing amongst themselves about who was the greatest. Perhaps some thought Peter, James, or John must be the greatest because they had been chosen to go up the mountain with Jesus when he was transfigured. Perhaps one of these men outright said they were the greatest and everyone should follow their lead. But they did not choose to bring Jesus into this conversation. Again, they were too afraid to ask Jesus who would be greatest and chose to argue amongst themselves. But Jesus was not oblivious to the disciples' conversation. And once they were settled in a safe place, likely Peter and Andrew's house in Capernaum, Jesus confronts them. What were you arguing about along the way? And once again, no one wants to engage with Jesus. There seems to be no conversation. This was a prime opportunity to learn from the greatest teacher of all time, and they were squandering it. No one answers him, but he knew what they were saying. And instead of choosing a favorite, Jesus turns their definition of greatness upside down and says, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Notice no one asks any questions here again. No one says, "What does it mean to be last?" or "How do I possibly serve everybody?" Have you ever heard of a goat? Now, I'm not talking about the cute little creatures that bounce around and we watch videos of. I'm talking about a G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time. It's a slang term used to describe someone who is the best at something. So people argue about who is the GOAT in sports, for instance. So is it the CFL player Doug Flutie in the 90s or George Reed in the 60s and 70s? Is it Roger Clemens or Hank Aaron or Babe Ruth in baseball? You may have your own opinion. Wanting to be the greatest is not something new. Humans are always trying to figure out who is best. That is why we have award shows like the Oscars and the Grammys or the Olympics. We want to know who is the greatest. Jesus' disciples got caught up in those same ambitions, trying to figure out which one of them, after Jesus, of course, was the GOAT. But Jesus' definition of greatness and the world's are very different. Instead of choosing who he thinks is the best, or giving them a qualification list that they can all strive for so that they could become the best, Jesus just states, "The first shall be last of all and servant of all." And then he seems to sit back and just let that sink in. I was struck once again that his disciples do not engage him in conversation. So he looks around and he sees children playing in the corner. Now, I just want you to just go with me for a minute. I'm using my imagination a bit, so we'll go from here. Now, children are not generally afraid to engage in conversation. They willingly reply to questions with a candidness that sometimes embarrasses their parents. I remember attending my great-grandparents' church as a child, and the children stayed in the sermon that day, and I don't remember the context or what the pastor was saying, but he said at one point, "What do you think I am, crazy?" And then he paused for effect. Well, my 4-year-old cousin Tara Lynn yelled from the back of the pews, "Yes!" She obviously didn't understand rhetorical questions. And her parents were mortified, and the rest of us were hysterically laughing. It took quite a while for all of us to gain our composure, including the pastor, who I remember having a very red face. I don't remember anything about the sermon, but I certainly remember that situation. So let's go back to Jesus in Capernaum with the children and the disciples. Here's what I visualize. The disciples are not giving any feedback to Jesus. So he turns to the children, and a toddler catches Jesus' eyes. She's still unsteady on her feet and has dirt wiped across her face. Her curls are a little wild because she didn't want to stay still for her mother while she combed them. She smiles at Jesus and then looks away. He smiles back at her, and she giggles and then hides in her older brother's tunic. Jesus gets up and walks over to her. He crouches in front of her and the other children, engaging them in conversation. Meanwhile, the disciples are left to consider Jesus' words and wonder why Jesus is bothering with these little ones when they have so much to do. But Jesus is in no hurry. He plays peekaboo with the little girl while he listens to the other children's stories. And after a few minutes, the little girl toddles up to him, reaches for him to pick her up. So Jesus picks her up, carries her over to where he and the disciples are sitting, and continues to play with her. She shows Jesus her dolly, maybe, and babbles away to him incomprehensibly. And then he lifts her in his arms and cuddles her. And finally, he looks at the disciples and says, "Whoever welcomes a child like this little one in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Now I imagine the disciples looking at him dumbfounded, wondering what this baby has to do with anything. But Jesus continues to hold her as she cuddles into Jesus' shoulder and begins to fall asleep. The disciples have been asked to accept a definition of greatness that is opposite to the world around them. Jesus' time is running out, and he needs them to understand how leadership and faith work in the kingdom of God. This is not the first time we've heard Jesus say this. He's told them to welcome little children, that the least will be the greatest. So it shouldn't come as a surprise when he replies to the question of who is greatest with a statement about welcoming a toddler. And yet, it requires a paradigm shift in these men in order to understand it. In God's kingdom, it's not about who is the greatest or the most important. Everyone is equally important to God. And everyone, especially those who are considered unimportant, should be welcomed. The word welcome here is more than just inviting someone into your home. It is voluntarily and willingly receiving what is brought by another. In other words, seeing someone's true worth. Jesus welcomed this little one. Why? What was the true worth of this little child? Well, maybe she gave her attention and time to Jesus, which her disciples were not very good at the time. Welcoming is accepting each other with open arms, open mind, and open hearts. This little one may have known Jesus and sensed that he was safe. We know that little ones are often shy and will cry if somebody they don't know picks them up. But here, this little one seems to go willingly into Jesus' arms. Welcoming is showing special attention and kindness. Jesus' disciples weren't engaging with him, but Jesus showed special attention and kindness to this little one, and she engaged back with him. Jesus saw the worth in everyone, including a toddler, and a leader in God's kingdom who is searching for greatness needed to do the same. If they looked for the world's definition of greatness, they were going to be disappointed. There's a theme here of giving up what we think is rightfully ours. We want to hold on to our abilities, our privilege, our exclusivity. We want to control others and even control God instead of accepting Jesus' way of leading with humility and selflessness. Isn't that part of what we've been learning the last few weeks as we've gone through the book of Mark? Jesus said we need to avoid the yeast of Herod trying to control others. He said we need to avoid the yeast of the Pharisees trying to control God. Well, if we are being welcoming, we're not trying to control anyone. We are recognizing their worth. So how do we become the greatest in God's kingdom? Jesus doesn't say we can't be great. He just radically redefines greatness. So here's a pattern I see from this passage for kingdom greatness. First of all, withdrawing with Jesus to a safe, quiet place. Jesus saw there was too much going on. He pulled himself and the disciples aside, took them away from the towns, away from the crowds, to a quietness so that they could talk together openly. He went to a home of friends. He didn't go to the synagogue in the town in Capernaum. They went to a home of friends so they could be alone. I wonder, where is your safe, quiet space to be with Jesus? Is it in nature? Is it in your bedroom? Is it driving in your car? I wonder if this week you would make some time to find that safe, quiet space. The next thing is to listen and ask questions. I really think the disciples missed out on some big opportunities here by not asking questions, by not interacting with Jesus. I wonder if you could ask yourself what makes you afraid to ask Jesus questions. What questions would you ask him if you set aside your fear? And finally, start with something simple. Jesus picked up a child and played with them. He welcomed a little one. We can start by welcoming whoever Jesus places on our path in this moment. So if Jesus, we know, is the goat, the greatest of all time in God's kingdom, then let's follow his example. Let's spend time with God in prayer and welcoming all with the love of Jesus. Amen.